thank you for this day that you have given us. It is truly a day of blessing and thanksgiving to come to your house and praise you and to tell you that we love you. We love Jesus and we love the Holy Spirit. That we are not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I am thankful for Matt. I am thankful for these waters of baptism that express what God has already done on the inside and will continue to do. I pray that you will lead him in the direction that you will have him to go, giving the strength and the power to do what is necessary to fulfill your will, your agenda. Now, Father, I pray for what is laid before us on the printout. As we continue to talk about what is going to take place in the church age that we are now living in, also referred to as the age of grace. It is not going to get any better. Things will get worse, Jesus said. So when we look at Matthew chapter 24, it is truly a chapter of preparation to get ready. Like I said, when the going gets tough, the tough will get going. As Christian people, we need to get tougher, spiritually speaking, so we can handle the adversity, the hardship, and the trials that will continue to come and intensify. We cannot do this alone, even though we are Christians. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit that is in us as your children that will help us to be obedient unto the Lord, to obey His Word, to allow Him to be the Lord of our lives, our Master. I am thankful for this church and what it stands for in this community. It is truly salt and it is truly light. I pray that all that are here will leave this place in a little while stronger, bolder, livelier in the things of God. I pray that you will help this country continue under your leadership and help us with the election that is ahead of us that is so very important. But we will all keep our sanity because you are in charge. You always have been, you are now, and always will be. Help us to act like it. Help us to not run scared of anything. And again, help us to not tap out and give up. May the love of God get stronger in this place and in these individual Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your printout as we begin this morning. You'll notice the title, Iniquity Will Abound and the Love of Many Will Wax Cold. Well, let's begin with a question. Did God really give them up? I hope you have something to write with. As a result of people's own choice, underline, please, two words, own and choice. Question, where do choices come from? In every human being, there are two persuasive forces. If you are a Christian, there is divine persuasion. There is also the persuasion of the old sin nature. Even though you are a Christian, you will still retain the old sin nature as long as you live. So people say, I made a choice today. No, really you didn't. You made a decision from the choices that were laid before you. One came from divine persuasion. That's the living God. The second one, from the old sin nature. Now, the old sin nature will make you think that human good is good enough to get you into heaven. that human good is acceptable unto the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says it is not. The only good that is acceptable unto the living God is divine good. That is good that is inspired in you and worked in you and through you by the Holy Spirit of God. And the Christian responding to the word of the living God. As a result of people's own choice to let God go from their consciences, underline the word conscience, please. And you can write the perception of knowledge. The perception of knowledge. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. We're going to read about this conscience here for a moment. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now, I am going to read once again from the Amplified Study Bible. If you don't have one, I hope you'll get one soon. It is great. But you can still follow along in whatever version that you have. Romans chapter 1, verses 18, 19, and 20. Verse 18, "For God does not overlook sin, and the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who in their wickedness suppress and stifle the truth." So if you suppress the truth, it means before you suppressed it, you knew what it was. So in order to suppress it, you had it before that suppression came. Verse 19, "Because that which is known about God is evident within them, in their inner consciences. For God made it evident to them." Verse 20, "For ever since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through His workmanship, all His creation, the wonderful things that He has made, so that they who fail to believe and trust in Him are without excuse and without defense." All right, let's go back here to the printout. As a result of people's own choice to let God go from their consciences, Paul said that God gave. Underline the word gave. Very interesting word in the Greek language. The word gave means to deliver over with a sense of close personal involvement. It means to deliver over with a sense of close personal involvement. Now, I want you to really understand this. It says God gave them over. Did God leave them? No. Did God abandon them? No. He gave them over to their own desires, but He was still at the same time personally involved in their lives. And that's what the word gave means. Very important word. That God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Underline reprobate mind, and let's define that. A reprobate mind. You no longer have the capacity to reason. And remember, we have these people, a lot of them, in Washington, trying to rule the country that we live in. A lot of them are going to vote, and they vote in every election. A reprobate mind. You no longer have the capacity to reason. That's the mind you chose, and God gave you over to the desire of having. You are left, secondly, to your own thoughts. Now, that's a scary thing. We are left to our own thoughts. Thirdly, there is no proper mental processing. Fourthly, you live in painful ignorance, bias, and prejudice. And lastly, your mind is incapable of receiving and processing the thoughts of Almighty God. In a few words, you begin living like a wild animal. As a result of people's own choice to let God go from their consciences, their perception of knowledge, Paul said that God gave them over, but He never abandoned them or left them. To a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Number two, Was it the Lord who gave them up, or did they turn from God and give up their knowledge of Him? Please listen. The Greek language makes it clear that God did not walk away and abandon them, as some suggest. Instead, He responded to their own desire. This is what you want. I'm going to give you over to it. And released them. Underline the word released. What an important word. If God released them, it means some sort of restraint had been working into their lives prior to turning them over. Is that correct? So divine persuasion was at work in these minds, in this application here in Romans. So what does God do? He takes away His restraint, so there is no restraint, and lets them do what they think is good for them. All right, back to the printout. The Greek language makes it clear that God did not walk away and abandon them, as some suggest. Instead, He responded to their own desire and released them to follow their wayward instincts. When He did, Romans 1:28 also reveals they came reprobate in their thinking. Well, let's look at the word reprobate. Number one, a mind that no longer thinks or reasons correctly. Due to the influence of sin, it has become unfit, twisted, and perverted. Let's make a change here. It is a mind that is damaged. The word is damaged. It is a mind that is damaged as a result of sin or of a, underline this word, a drifting away from God's authority. What does the word drifting mean? It means this did not happen all of a sudden. And when you drift away from the authority of Almighty God, what is authority here? It is simply the Word of God. And what is the Word of God? It is also the will of God. The way that God wants you to live as a child of the living God Himself. The word reprobate pictures the mind of an individual or even the mind of an entire society or culture. What have you been watching on TV in the streets of Oregon, New York, Chicago? You're looking at people with reprobate minds, people that no longer have reasoning, people that think that evil is good and good is evil. That's what's taking over our country. And Jesus says, at the end of the church age that we are now in, that will end at the rapture of the church, one day it will cover the whole world that we live upon. Let's go back to the printout. Look at the point. Number one, a reprobate mind will eventually produce reprobate behaviors. A reprobate mind loses its ability to discern what is morally right and wrong. If things go awry at the next election, you will learn to be your own police. If police are defunded, and many of them continue to step away from their job, then you better learn how to shoot some kind of weapon. And I say that to the women as well as the men. Kamala Harris says, I'll take away your guns. Good luck on that one. Amen. I'm not giving mine up. Amen. And when you look at all the registered hunters today, they outnumber the military that we have in number. You want to come to Texas and you want to open up that can of worms? I'll stop there. I'll say this. We ain't backing up in Texas. Amen. Back to the printout. A reprobate mind loses its ability to discern what is morally right and wrong. How in the world can you reason with an individual like that? You cannot. Although that mind may remain brilliantly intellectual in many respects. Sin-damaged minds do things which are not convenient. Look at the word not convenient. The word not convenient means not morally right or fitting. A reprobate mind eventually loses the ability to discern right and wrong, even to the point of justifying wrong as right and evil as good. In Matthew 24:12, Jesus said that iniquity or lawlessness will abound in society as we collide against the very end of the church age. Question. Can a Christian have a reprobate mind? Before you answer, the answer is yes. Surprise you? You thought that was for unbelievers only? This is the Christian who has veered from the truths of God's Word. He's closed his Bible. He doesn't read his Bible anymore. He thinks now he's his own little God. He thinks he knows more than God does. So he puts the Bible aside every day, a little more, a little less. He continues on, trusting more in himself, his reasoning, and his thoughts. Can I ask you something? Would you rather trust someone who is all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, and all-sufficient, or someone who is not? Why not put your hands in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ? He's the judge. He's the one that's in control of all things. He's the one that is all-powerful again, and he's all-knowing. There is nothing he has not seen. There is nothing he does not know. There is nothing he cannot provide. So I say to you and I say to the church, we must continue following him, for he is Lord. He is the captain of the army. So this is the Christian who has veered from the truths of God's word. They have made so many exceptions for sinful behavior that it has produced in them a mind that no longer feels the pain or conviction of sin. Top of page 2. Is there hope and a cure? 1 John 1:9. May I say this as I begin with 1 John 1:9. This is not a salvation verse. I have heard preachers say that if you'll do what this verse tells you to do, you'll be saved. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has all to do with fellowship. Because when you become a Christian and you sin, and you will, because we still have the old sin nature and we are not perfect here. When you sin as a child of God, it breaks fellowship with Him. So when you break fellowship with God as a result of sin, what do you do? 1 John 1:9. If we is who? Christian people. The author is a Christian. He's referring to himself also. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises. That's another reason I would rather walk with the Lord, because how many human beings are true to their own nature and promises? Well, we're true to a nature, all right. It's the old sin nature. And what are our promises when we don't know much of anything? He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually, present tense, from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with His will, the Word of God, and His purpose. Now, 1 John 1:9, I exegeted this very quickly, very carefully. I want you to listen. 1 John 1:9, notice the word if. In the Greek language, it is a third-class condition. Third-class condition means potential action. Potential action means you are capable of confessing your sins. You are capable of what? Confessing your sins. Notice the word potential. Potential equals capable. Why am I capable of confessing my sins as a Christian? Because the Holy Spirit is in me. And when you sin as a Christian, guess what? The Holy Spirit, who is God in you, now that you're a Christian, He's going to begin to convict you. He wants to see the Word of God carried out. He wants to see restored fellowship once again with the child who has broken fellowship when he sinned against the living God. How many people say this? I've sinned. And there's no way God's going to let me back into the family. Let me tell you something. The only way you got into the family to start with was by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the way you are restored is one way, through the substitutionary, what? Death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I worked on that word. That's a long one. Here we go. If we confess, we confess. We is Christian people. The word confess, listen closely, Baptist. Confess. It means to agree with God that you have violated His holiness. Second meaning of confess. Confess is in the present tense, which implies ongoing action. Is confession of sin to be a part of the Christian life? Jesus says yes. Thirdly, confess means a specific naming of sins and turning away from those specific sins. If we confess our sins, notice that the word sins is in the plural. Now, notice this phrase, He, God the Father, is faithful. What is He faithful to do? God is faithful to His Word. If God said, if you will do this, what is in 1 John 1:9, then I, God, being faithful to my promises and to my word, I will forgive you of your sin or sins whenever you agree with me that you have sinned. That's His word. That's His promise. So no matter what you fall into, no matter what sin you commit, please don't listen to Satan tell you you have sinned such a sin that God is never ever going to let you back into the family. So therefore you'll say, well, I guess I have fallen from grace. You can't fall from grace. You didn't do anything to save yourself, and you can't do anything to unsave yourself. To be saved by grace means it is God only doing what God can do. So you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, now, look at the word forgive and the word cleanse. This is the ongoing cleansing necessary for fellowship with God. There is restoration of fellowship, and thank God for that. Because I don't know of any perfect people, especially Christians, that exist in the world today. There will never be a perfect Christian. We will retain, as I said, the old sin nature when we do get saved. Only when we are delivered from this body, given a resurrected, glorified body into the presence of God, will we be perfect before Him. All right, back to the printout. Notice hearts hardening and love growing cold. Now Jesus said, iniquity, parenthesis, lawlessness, shall abound. The word abound means increase. So what you're seeing at this moment on TV, is it going to increase? The answer is what? Yes, according to Jesus Christ. Do you like that? No, I don't. So what do we continue to do? Being salt and being light, delivering the gospel and living unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The word abound means increase, flourish, and overflow. Remember, Jesus is speaking of a worldwide, you might want to underline that, worldwide condition in the very last of the last days of the church age. Things are going to get so lawless and so rotten. You're going to pray, come, Lord Jesus, and please come now. I can't stand this anymore. Did you hear what Black Lives Matter is doing now? Again, it's not about racism. It's a political agenda. Now they're stepping up in the yards and saying, your house belongs to me. I deserve that. Reparations, If there's anything we need to give to people, it's the Indians. Not Black Lives Matter. Listen clearly. Jesus matters. And we need to be working from those two words, Jesus matters, and down. That is what is going to solve the problem. And I'll say this, all lives matter. Jesus matters, all lives matter. And that's the way it should be. Please understand that the mystery of iniquity is at work right now to groom society for this condition of lawlessness. The worldwide rejection of God and the introduction of the son of perdition after the rapture of the church. The Antichrist. Is he standing in the wings at this very moment? I will say again, yes. Does he know he is the Antichrist at this moment? The answer is no, and will not know until the time. Terry, why do you say the Antichrist is standing in the wings at this moment? Because he's a human being. And Satan is a created being and does not know everything. Therefore, if this man dies, then another one will arise and be born and take his place. Some say, I believe the Antichrist will come upon the scene after the rapture. I agree. He can't be born at that time. Is that correct? Because you only have 7 years of tribulation. Is that correct? So I think the Antichrist is going to be a lot older than 7 years old. Most say he's going to be the age of a young adult. He'll be ready to step in and tell the whole world, I've got all the answers to your problems. Point number two, iniquity, lawlessness, will flourish at the end of the church age and will seem like a river spilling over its banks. Matthew 24, 37 and 38. You've probably heard this one before. For the coming of the Son of Man is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will be just like the days of Noah. Underline that phrase, just like the days of Noah. Well, what were the days of Noah like? Here's what the Bible says. The earth was filled with violence. The whole earth was filled with violence. Continue to listen closely. Everything the people thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. I'll reread that. Everything the people thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Totally evil. There was not a good thought in any mind of any human being that was living on the earth at that time. Every one of them, every thought, every deed was nothing but evil, and it covered all of humanity at the time. What will it be like when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of this age? Exactly what you just heard. For the coming of the Son of Man, the Messiah, will be just like the days of Noah. He preached 120 years and not one convert. Not one convert after 120 years, but he kept on being what God said he needed to be and do what God said he needed to do. Preach and build the ark. Preach and get ready for your ark, your Savior, Jesus Christ, is coming back for you to take you home forever to be with him. Don't give up. Don't give in when all hell breaks loose on planet Earth. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the very day when Noah entered the ark. The rain came, the flood came, the judgment of God came. And let me say to all, and I know these here differ, and I'm glad you do, in a good way. Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is holy. And brother, when he comes back, He's not coming back with his arms extended. He's coming back as judgment. And he's coming back to extend his wrath to the ungodly. Well, Terry, that sounds pretty good. They're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Yeah, and they were rotten to the core as they were doing it. Damned all the way to hell. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us the truth. Thank you for letting those that have a nonchalant attitude toward the church realize you're in deep trouble. You'll be the one that veers. The rope is taken off. The boat begins to drift, and it's a slow drift, and pretty soon you find your way out to sea. In fact, so far out you can't even see the land. Be careful how you live. Be careful what you believe. Don't get caught up in this easy believism. And don't ever bow your knee to Black Lives Matter. That is a damning religion, and it is becoming a religion. You bow your knee to Jesus Christ, because in the end, Black Lives Matter and Antifa will bow their knees to Jesus Christ, like it or not. He's coming for his people, and he's coming to deal with the ungodly. Help us to stay afloat, to stay the course. In Jesus' name, amen.